So this is Helen Morgan in Hudson, New York, as part of the Oral History Summer School Archive on July 3rd, 2015. And I'm here with Tim. Would you be able to introduce yourself,
Yeah,
please?
Tim Pahalik.
Great, thanks. And can we start? Could you just tell me a little bit about where you come from?
I come from Michigan, just north of Detroit. And I mean, how much detail do you want?
Whatever you'd like to talk
Yeah.
about.
I was born in 1947, and I was the fourth of five boys. My three older brothers were born in New York City. My parents met in New York City. My mother was from Ireland. She came over to help an older sister during pregnancy, and she ended up meeting my father and obviously stayed. And they had my three older brothers in Manhattan, and then they moved to Michigan just before I was born. I was born in Detroit, and we moved just 2 hours north of the city shortly afterwards. And it was kind of, even though it was close to the city, it was more or less country when we moved in. And over the course of, I guess we lived there for 14 years. And during that time, they built many houses. You know, it was like a, it began now at this moment, it's basically one suburb after the, just straight north. And now at that point, there was still country surrounding the city. And so growing up, the houses that were being built were like playgrounds for all the kids in the neighborhood. And it was, I went to a local school about a mile and a half away. And it was a Catholic school. This Oak Park where I was, where we lived was became a Jewish community. And so there was I so that so anyway we had our block was built, kind of built up first, and so all we got all the neighbors became quite close. I had a few friends, and in those days we did, it was quite a different time than now growing up. We went we went everywhere on our bikes out into the country, into the farmlands, and we had a swimming hole we went to in the summer, ice skating in the winter. In those days we had much more proper winters, hot summers, big floods in the spring. And anyway, we lived there until I was done with eighth grade, and then we moved a bit further north into Birmingham, Michigan, and I went to an all-boy high school called Brother Rice. And so I started that ninth grade, and was there for 4 years. I guess my family life was not particularly cultural. My father was Polish descent. His parents were from Poland. He grew up as a son of a miner in outside Pittsburgh. And so of the two, the Polish and the Irish, I guess we live more out the Irish side, although my mother could prepare some of the some of the Polish dishes that she learned from her mother-in-law. My grandparents were both passed before I was born, so I never got to know them, but so the high school, I mean, again, it was because because of my parents, who they were, at least there was very little cultural life, and as I said already, and we it was a college preparatory school, and I played sports, and I did, I was a medium student. Again, it was the, 1,000 boys in the high school, so it was kind of a rough and ready kind of place. Very strict discipline. And I had a good amount of friends. Of course, this was the 60s, and things began to the 50s were very different. Although I was a child during that time, it was things began to change pretty radically in the mid 60s into the 70s. I graduated in 65 and ended up going to Michigan State University, and graduated 5 years later. And during that time, again, big school, 45,000 students. A bit between the all boy high school, which was a bit on the grim side, and then the big college. It wasn't. It was kind of, again, you felt I was kind of living in a certain way in my own world, and I didn't necessarily, kind of identify with many things that I saw. My brothers, my three older brothers were quite a bit older. And in fact, two of them, probably by the time I was three or four, were already out of the house. So, and they were all businessmen. My father was a businessman in sales. And I knew that's not what I wanted. But in the university, I ended up changing my major 5 times, so I didn't really, I had no idea. I had no preparation really for what would might come in the future. Again, a very materialistic upbringing with not very little cultural influence. And at Michigan State, living in big dormitories, during that time, there was lots of demonstrations, and even in my senior year, there was, well, in 67, there was a big riot in Detroit. Big part of the inner city was burnt down. A few years later, at Michigan State, there was big turmoil with the National Guard coming and, basically surrounding all the dormitories. With all the demonstrations, all the things that were going on, pretty wild time. And anyway, it was not a very grounding time, both up till that point. I graduated when I was 23, and I played rugby in my last year of school there, and ended up playing for Detroit. Detroit had a rugby club. And we played all over the Midwest and Canada. And that became kind of, the years that I graduated after I graduated. I ended up finishing in criminal justice because it was, I ended up just looking through the catalog and finding a major that would take most of my credits, because I was all over the place with economics and teaching and various different things. And so that was the one. It was kind of in the sociology department, and it kind of caught much, even though I graduated with a lot of credits, I ended up majoring in that. And I did field service training with, various agencies, and but in the end, I didn't go in that direction. And I had, during my playing rugby for Detroit, I had 5 jobs in the or 10 jobs in the next 5 years, basically just any job that would kind of support my rugby playing, and more of the social life too. But it was pretty serious rugby, but it was also pretty serious social time. And I had various jobs, even from construction to insurance investigation, and working in a mental health clinic with adolescents, and ended up teaching as a substitute teacher in Detroit in the junior highs. And it was a pretty wild time too for that year, because it was, the junior highs were pretty many of them, and that's the one that were hardest to fill, those temporary teaching jobs were always the greatest need was in the junior highs. So that's basically where I worked most of the time. And so I decided during that time that I would, I'm missing out a lot of things, but I think details maybe wouldn't make a lot of sense. I mean, for this kind of a storytelling, but I eventually then was decided to become a teacher again, not knowing anything. What I had no idea what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want the business world. I knew that I wasn't particularly being nourished by what I had met so far in life, and I actually had moments where I thought, and I wasn't, it wasn't depressing or I wasn't, freaked out about it, but I thought I was going to die young. I didn't see any future. And it was a lot of turmoil, a lot of things going on in the world, through the so-called, the boomer generation that was coming up, and a lot of things I couldn't quite identify with. I became a vegetarian when I was 25, and that was kind of an unusual thing. I was away on a rugby weekend in Toronto. And didn't eat meat for that weekend for whatever reason. And we grew up on eating a lot of meat. And I realized on the way back in the train that I hadn't eaten meat that weekend, and I actually liked the idea. I never liked the idea of eating meat as a child, and but I never questioned it because that's what we did. So I decided at that moment to stop eating meat. And then. Yeah, I was enrolled in a master's program at Wayne State University in elementary education. And during that time, I guess I was approaching 28. I heard about Waldorf education, and a friend of mine who was a social worker and used to come to our games, she had visited the Detroit Waldorf School. During one of her, during one of her visits for one of her, the people in her caseload, and she described it and said that there was also a teacher training institute in Detroit, and she said it was quite amazing. What she described, I was very interested in, and she said there was teaching jobs all over the world. It was like the institute was there for teacher trainers, for teaching, for training teachers.
Sorry, can I just interrupt a second? So I'm going to close the window because I think there's some work being done outside. That up too. Sorry.
Go on.
Yeah, please.
So I ended up going to this. It was in Detroit, and it was, and I went for an interview, and was then accepted into the teacher training. But I also, in the end, I took the what's called the orientation year. Which is, anyway, the background of Waldorf education has to do with anthroposophy, which is a, it was a study that was introduced by an Austrian philosopher, Dr. Rudolf Steiner, and which I didn't know anything about when I went. And then they, I ended up, as I said, I was accepted. I was going to take the orientation year, and I was given a book to read, which I did, and it became immediate. As I said earlier, I had this kind of premonition that I couldn't see a future, that I was kind of doubting if I was going to be around that long. And this was, yeah, it was immediate kind of experience. I'd done some meditation up until then, that I'd met Eastern kind of meditation that I'd met, and not quite fulfilling, but I was somehow looking for something different. And but this was an immediate kind of and deep answer to maybe what I was looking for that I couldn't have articulated before. But so I took that year, and I lived in Detroit in a rectory, an old rectory that was being rented by the institute, and I lived there with a bunch of other young people and took the classes, and it was just like, it was a quite amazing, it really broadened my view. We also took a lot of artistic classes, which I'd never done before in the Catholic school, and certainly in high school and college, I never took an art class. And this was, so we did painting and all kinds of crafts, and music, and none of which I had ever done before. So it was, although that was, that was that any kind of art starting off like that, it is a bit intimidating, because you don't have the tools really. You don't have the pathways into your soul to be able to express yourself in any way really, other than kind of hit and miss and seeing what happens. But anyway, during that year, we had lots of teachers that came from Europe, and gave special blocks, everything from projective geometry to something called astrosophy, which is a kind of anthroposophical astrology. And anyway, and this somebody called Willy Zucker, who was very famous. He's long gone now. And there was other people that were had authors and who had written many books, and they all came and gave courses. It was quite an amazing year. And at the end of the year, there was somebody coming that called a man called Carlo Pietzner, who was, we found out then that he was a founding member of something called the Camp Hill movement, and we hadn't heard anything about that before then. I mean, out of anthroposophy there comes lots of agricultural initiatives like biodynamics, and there's anthroposophical medicine. There's as I said, the Waldorf teaching, and very all pursuits in many different things, from the arts to the political life to the social life. And anyway, we hadn't heard anything much about Camp Hill, and he came and gave a course having to do with illness and karma. It was an interesting course. And he was there for a few weeks, and after a week, people started being curious of what Camp Hill was, and he ended up giving a public talk, or to all the different courses. And then it interested me enough that I wanted to speak to him privately. I ended up sharing my time with him with others, because he didn't have a lot of time, and there was a lot of people interested. And so in that small session with three or four other people, he described in detail a place in Pennsylvania called Camp Hill Special Schools, which is a children's village for young children with special needs. And in his description, it also had a seminar, a 3-year seminar, and in his description of that program there, it was like the first time I ever had such a, other than when I read that first book, anthroposophical book. This was a really strong experience, and I knew that was what I was going to do in life. And I was 28, maybe 29 by that point. And it was a really strong experience. I hadn't had experience like that before. And you know, I told him, I said, you know, you might think I'm crazy, but I know I'm coming, and this is what I want. And he said, he smiled and said, well, just write a letter, you know, to, he told me who to, and I did, and ended up going maybe even a month later. I went for a 10-day visit to Pennsylvania, to Campbell Special Schools, and I was picked up, and then I came to the village. It was a beautiful, it's a beautiful on a hillside, with, you know, beautiful Pennsylvania rolling hill, you know, perspective. Quite a very beautiful estate, and I went up to the top drive. I ended up living there for 12 years, but you know, I went up to the top, and I got out of the car, and I can't, looking back, because I know the life there, I can't quite feature what the occasion was, but I got out of the car, and there was a big group of children walking, taking a walk, and I got out of the car, and they all surrounded me, this a big group of kids, and it was really kind of, and I knew that I was home, and I, you know, was there for 10 days, and it was just everything confirmed that that's what I was going to do, and came that following August. It might have been in May or something like that. And which, yeah, looking back too, is kind of amazing in a certain way. Because I did never had the wanderlust or anything like that. I had a lot of friends that just took off and traveled the world, and I stayed and played rugby. That was what I really wanted and enjoyed. And all of a sudden, I didn't, you know, left the rugby. You know, I just kind of left, and it was a long time ago, so it's hard to remember exactly, but I never questioned it, and just left and traveled to Pennsylvania with whatever bags I had, a few bags, and I started living that year with an older woman who was German. She was the house mother, and I took care of four boys, and I virtually lived next door to a dormitory of four boys, next room over, and we had seven kids living in the house, three girls at one end and four boys at the other. And I just started seminar, and as I said, I was there for, well, first there, I was there for 4 years. And I did this seminar for 3 years. It was quite a, you know, we were a group of seven or eight, or it changed a little bit, and it was really a close-knit group that went through together. And I deepened my relationship to Anthroposophy. And I guess most important, I, you know, came in contact with myself for the first time, but on hand of just being with these children. And for, 'cause one thing, they're totally ex, you know, open to other people. And there's a an innate kind of love, or you know, not an intellectual love or something that's has articulation in that sense, but it's just kind of a raw, you know, you build up really, you know, you build up a real strong relationship. And in the course of those 4 years I had, that I was there to begin with, I had a dormitory each year, and I had a lot of really difficult kids. And because I was a single male, I ended up often having the very, you know, challenging boys, and usually from 11, 12 to 14 or 15 years old, and that to me was, yeah, really changed my life. And those most difficult kids are the ones I had ended up having the deepest relationship to. And they were the ones that kind of, you know, you could say it was like a plowing up of my soul. I mean, which was, as I said, there was no, you know, growing up, no kind of cultural aspect to my life. And then this seminar and all I did there was kind of filled with that. We also celebrated the festivals of the year. And so there was a lot of artistic aspects to that. So anyway, that together with these children, and I also worked, I had that dormitory always it was always four, and you get them up in the morning and you put them back to bed at night. I had a half a day off a week, and otherwise, during the day that I would have had my own work elsewhere. I either would work with crews on the land, I work in classrooms, and then anyway, at the end of the fourth year, during the fourth year, I had a relationship with a woman who became pregnant, and she was German. Most of the young coworkers, you had older kind of long-term coworkers, house parents or various others who artists and teachers and so forth. And then you had always had younger coworkers that were there for 1 or 2 or 3 years. And anyway, she became pregnant. She went moved back to Germany, and I realized that I had to go to live in Europe. So I ended up leaving that summer after my fourth year to live in Austria. She was living in the Ruhrgebiet, which is like in Bonn, Bornheim, in the area, and I went over there and saw him. He was born in March, and I went there in the summer and saw him when he was a few months old, and he had his christening during that time. And his mother and I decided not to get married, and but I settled into kind of into his life more on the periphery, but supporting him financially, but and trying to go to see him as often as I could, which wasn't that much because I ended up going to another Camp Hill place in Austria near Vienna. And that year was probably one of the few year most difficult years of my life. But just leaving Beaver Run on the one hand, which I had a close connection to, and being immersed in another language where I had no, couldn't speak at all. And it was a small one house in a small village called Pitten, and it was kind of it was a really difficult year, and I didn't have the money or to be able to I ended up seeing him a couple times that year. After that year, the circumstances were such that I had left after that year. I wasn't planning on it. I had signed on for another year, but circumstances just kind of, inserted itself that, and I left and I went to Germany to Stuttgart for a year. And there I worked in an old people's home and was thinking about becoming a priest of the Christian community. At least I was looking into it. And I lived, in that kind of an environment in that town. I lived with three women who were studying something called eurythmy. And again, during the course of that year too, because I left with nothing when I left Pitten. I didn't have any money otherwise, because we don't make a salary in Camp Hill. So I had basically, by virtue of some help I had from people I knew, kind of tangentially in Stuttgart, I was able to, to get a job and have working papers for that year. And but I wasn't able to see my son Johannes. He was born in 1980 in March. And again, I was paying support and seeing him as often as I could and being in contact otherwise through letters or phone calls, at least with his mother. And we also, when he was 2 or 3 weeks, well, actually, it must have been after that year in Stuttgart, I decided to go back to Beaver Run, Campus Special Schools. And we three of us went over to Michigan to see my parents and meet my family. And of course, she went back to Germany after. She was a Waldorf teacher. And then my son Johannes went to Waldorf school. And I went back to Beaver Run. And I still had a dormitory, I think, for that first year back. And then I eventually became a teacher, did 3 years of teaching, and I ran a pottery and a wood shop for 3 years. And there was a group of us that had met there, and we lived in the biggest house. In the last 3 years, I was in Beaver Run, a big house. We had 11 kids living in the house, and Campus Special Schools was getting a little bit top heavy. There was a lot of older kids, even 18 to 21. So we decided to start another Camp Hill place, contiguous to Campus Special Schools, which we started then. It was called Soltane, and we took seven of that older group, and we moved over to this new property, and started another Camp Hill place, which was called a Youth Guidance. This Campus Special Schools was more of a school from, like first grade or to through high school, and this was like young adults. And there I had a I planted an orchard, and I was a house parent. I was always involved in the houses and in work. And I lived there for 8 years. And during that time, I met another woman there, who we ended up getting married, and we had a daughter that was first born in Soltane. She was born in one of the houses. She was, both the children born there were born at home, with midwives. And so my daughter was born in 91, Nora, and I had a son 2 years later born, Brendan. And we were there then. I wasn't quite happy in Soltane. The people I started with, there was one guy who was particularly, he was a very talented person, but I didn't particularly, we were close, but the way it was being developed, I just didn't have an interest in it. So I decided after a few times, but in the end, we did leave in 96. And at that point, I was 20 years in Camp Hill, and Nora was, see, that one, she would be, God, she four, she must have been four already, and Brendan was two, and we moved, through a whole process. We ended up moving up here to a place called Triform, Camp Hill Triform, and we became all this whole time. Actually, I had my son connection to my son Johannes, who was living in Germany. In fact, he came with us, came to live with Maggie and I in while we were in Soltane for a year during his, I think it was his 9th grade year. He came to live with us and went to the local Waldorf school. And so anyway, we had a nonstop relationship. We only saw each other once, basically once a year with Johannes. But he developed a relationship to his new siblings, half siblings. And we moved up here to Columbia County. And again, I kind of was working more in the agricultural, even in my last year. And well, I was a teacher when I left, but I did some agricultural work in Campus Special Schools. I continued in Soltane and up here. Then I was became also continued the work on the land, and we were house parents, and did that for up until 2 years ago when I retired in a sense, and I was house parent for in Camp Hill up to that point, 2 years ago, 37 years. And my kids then had graduated from the local Waldorf school here. We have this relationship also to Johannes, and now Johannes has two children. Just had the second child born, my second granddaughter, our first grandson, granddaughter, born just in April. And we see them every year, and keep contact through various birthdays and Christmas and so forth. And amazingly enough, just I don't know, as a side thing, it's kind of interesting that my son Brendan and Johannes are so much alike. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, how movement, even though they didn't grow up together per se. In fact, when he was in ninth grade, they were, little babies basically. But Brendan's and Johannes's mannerisms and way they walk and conduct themselves—they're both interested in drama, acting, and it's kind of amazing. But but during the course of all those years, I became a painter, so I paint, and even been involved with, well, I mean, the cultural life in Camp Hill has been very rich, and also through the Waldorf School, my kids going through the Waldorf School. And so these last couple of years, both my daughter's now living in California. She just became a doula, and will go on to maybe become a nurse. And my son is making sauerkraut, and he's he's 21 and he's finding his way, and yeah, so that's I think that's I'm not sure. Lots of little things are left out, but I think that's basically the gist of what's happened.
Really interesting. Amazing story.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop for a second.